Okay, I don't think there's anybody here that hasn't had me before. So we will quickly go over this, but there may be some people out in the world that are new. As far as the textbook is concerned, I think the textbook is a really good idea, but it's extraordinarily expensive. If you go back a couple of versions, it's extraordinarily cheap. So if you go back to 2015, which is fine. I mean, there might be a few differences we might encounter somewhere along the line, but they're not going to be significant. The biggest change in 19, which I have the biggest problem with, is the whole, they decided to make a prettier introduction or something. And so it's a pain in the neck, in my humble opinion, compared to the old way of doing it, but that's all right. So I would suggest that you can get an older version if you're paying for it. And 2015 is, if you go to Amazon and look up used versions, I think they were down around $25. Yeah, right. So that's why I put on the site here that you can definitely go with an earlier version. The earlier version will teach you Visual Basic. And then if I find something that you don't have, I can just make copies of those pages and give it to you. So anyway, if you haven't bought a textbook, I would suggest checking out Amazon's versions that are a little older. I think I'm remembering the 15, right? Who's the author of this?
Tony Gaddis.
Gaddis. Okay, so where's back to 215? I swear I looked this up and I saw it. Now I'm beginning to think I'm crazy.
Seventh edition, yes, the first one, right? Seventh edition? For
yeah,
books.
But that's still, buying is still high. And yeah, I swear I saw...
Yeah, more buying choices, $20.
So go to this one and get more buying choices?
Yeah.
I was going to say the 2012 is like 78 to buy.
I thought I saw something for around 25.
Yeah,
used,
$40.
Used 60, yeah. Used, okay.
$40, and then if you go into it,
yeah,
64 used, starting at 20. So that's where I got my 20 from, I think. So that one is a used one for $20, another used one for 25. And at least my experience is that if they say it's good, it is acceptable. You know, there might be some writing in the margin somewhere or something like that, but that on the whole, they're acceptable. So anyway, I would consider those rather than the full price. Okay, so the standard things here are that my syllabus says that the book should be, and I left it. Okay, I said we can work with Visual Basic. You can also get the 17 or 19 editions. But I just wanted to make it clear that you could get the 15 edition. Okay, so you can get one of the cheaper editions. And actually, I said the 212. I looked at my version of the 212, and it looked okay, too. So that works. The main thing that we're looking for in there is the how to do things and everything. Okay, homework is 80% of your grade, responsible human being is 10% of your grade, and the final is 10% of your grade. Okay? So if you don't do the homework, you don't pass the course. You can download it. Here's the site to download, and you can go and download Visual Basic for yourself, and you can get different versions depending on what you want. I consider the 2019 because that's compatible with what you have in the class here. Okay, it's 2019 is what's compatible with the classroom. So there you can go and download for free. I do record the lectures, and they will go up on audio, and SmartBoard will go up on SmartBoard. Anything else? Any questions people have about what's expected in the course? Assignments are due the Thursday after they are assigned. So the ones that are assigned this week are due January 30th. So they're due the Thursday after they're assigned. I put up the week of, usually Sunday, and it is kept up all semester. If you pass in something that's not working, I'm going to send it back to you and tell you to get it working. With hints and everything like that, but you still have to get things working. Joe is going to be living here, especially Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he's done a lot with Visual Basic and far above and beyond. So please feel free to see him when you can, if you have any questions, because he's very good. And I think that's about it. Any other questions? Or not any other questions, any questions at all? And I post the recordings and I post the SmartBoard notes tonight or tomorrow morning. So I usually will post them Thursday night or Friday morning, depending on whether I have a better offer for Thursday night. Okay, so okay, so that takes care of that. So now we want to go out and bring up, I hate the fact that that is like that. Okay, so we want to go into Visual Studio. So we're going to go here and pick Visual Studio 2019. Okay, so we're picking Visual Studio 2019. And then we pick create a new project. And this is what I always forget to do, is you have to pick the language. So I pick create a new project, then I've got to pick the language, and I'm picking the Visual Studio. And if you don't do that, it's going to default to C Sharp. Okay, so you've got to pick Visual Studio. And then you scroll down here and you pick Windows Form App. So language, Visual Basic, and then Windows Form App. Okay. And then you can give your project a name. So I'm going to call it January 21st. And then I can pick where I want this to go. So I'm going to put it out on my E drive. Okay. So I'm putting it out on my E drive. And if you don't have a flash drive with you, you can put it on your N drive. And then I'm saying create. And that part is radically different in 19 than it was in 17 or 15 or anything else. The getting started part is radically different. Once you're started, this is the standard stuff that comes up, which is why I said the version of the book is not terribly important. Once you've got it in, then this is what you're seeing. Okay? Everybody in, or if you're having problems, Joe can help. Okay. So what I've got is the standard stuff that I have in Visual Basic. I have the form, okay. I have the toolbox on the side, which I'm going to bring up. So I've got the toolbox on the side. I've got my project over here with form. And I have got down here the properties. So I've got the standard Visual Basic setup. Okay? So I'm going to bring up the toolbox and I'm going to click on the clicky button so that it stays in place. And then click on Common Controls. And so if I have the button there and click on Formal Controls, then I've got everything that I need. Okay. So at this point, I can make a form and I can do something with it. Okay. Have you had Visual Basic before? You're all set. So everybody's all set. Then what I'm going to do is suggest that you create something. Bring over some text boxes, bring over some buttons, bring over some labels. Just remind yourself how Visual Basic works. And go and make something as opposed to my dragging the things over. Because everybody here has had some exposure to Visual Basic.
I have not.
You have not?
I have
not. Okay, we're going to figure it out. Are you serious?
Yeah, I've worked with Visual Studio.
You had 12, wouldn't you? You had 120 with me.
I had 120, but yeah. So I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember how to go through Visual Studio and all that.
Okay.
But I don't remember how to open for Visual Basic specific.
Okay, so go over there and choose Language, Visual Basic. And then it's the one right after the Ask.net. So scroll down a little bit, and it's Windows Form. Yep. And then give it a name, whatever you want to name it. Put it up there. Project name, give it up there. What did it just do?
It created it like that.
Okay, so what it's called is Windows App One.
Yeah.
Okay. And God knows where you put it because I need to see it. So.
Yeah, it's a test page, so it's going to be in recent documents and all that,
right.
Because there's not a lot of documents that I need to do it.
And then that's the toolbox, click on that, and then just lock the button in place, that button right up there.
so that locks it in place, and then pick common controls. Okay? And then you can drag over labels, you can drag over text boxes. So he took that money far away from the use of that.
Yeah. Visual Basic, I'm not super comfortable with.
Keep your eyes on that. You're okay.
If you have questions, ask, but I honestly think that you'll get more out of just go ahead and building something. You can drag the things over, so you can drag over labels. And labels are frequently named with an LBL in front. Text boxes are named with a TXT in front, and buttons are named with a BTN in front. And those are just kind of indicators you know what you're doing if you follow those conventions. So you can do something very similar, simple, just drag over a bunch of button labels, a bunch of text boxes, a bunch of buttons. Start with the LBL.
But it's the text.
Text starts with.
Well, I mean, see where it says text there? That
yes.
This is label one. So is that?
That's okay. That's a different word of the text.
Okay.
When I say text, I mean the text button.
Like what goes there. That
right.
Okay.
And text there means in a label, you can put text that you want to appear there. So if this is somebody's ID, you would write over here, label ID, okay? So let's try this. If I write over here, here's the label I put up here. If I go to, I like the that particular way, the kind of second one in.
That's.
And if I go to label, I can call this label ID. And then down here, I go to the text box for it, and then I would write ID number colon or something like that, and that's what then shows up on the box.
Okay, thanks.
Okay? And then you put up a text box where you're going to put the ID, and you call that text box TXT ID. So I have one called LBL ID and one called TXT.
Visual Basic, or Visual Studio and
C++.
Yeah. That's what we use for programming and all that.
Yeah, right,
or
right.
C# or something like that, but like, Visual Basic isn't similar enough.
Just think of it as C++ without programming.
Yeah.
Are you going to come back? And then we'll look at a couple of examples, but I... I decided to do this depending on who was in the class. I didn't know who was going to show up, so I would have done it. But I decided you'd do it. Less than half the class is here. I don't remember the exact number for finals, but it was 12 or more, you know, so. Okay. So you just put up some data.
Yeah. It's like that one's, I'm just figuring out just by reading everything, and it's slowly coming back, but not very quickly.
Yeah. From what I remember, after modifying the value and the labels and all these, you see, click on a button, and then here you make it so like one button clicks.
That's right.
Do such and such.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So I put in now a label. I put in the label and I called it ID number.
Going to work first attempt.
Really. Excellent. So I put in a label and I called this LBL ID. And then I scroll down to the text on it. Okay, so I scroll down to the text on it, and I can fill in what I wanted, which is ID number. Okay, so I fit in the ID number there. Then I dragged a label over, and I call this, I'm sorry, a text box over, and I call that text ID. Okay, so I've got the ID there. Now, let's say I wanted to put a bunch of boxes to collect some numbers, and I want to do a calculation. So that's what I'm going to do next, is I'm going to put in a few boxes to do some calculations, and then put in a place for the answer. And the label is a nicety, because it's showing what the field is. But if I just take and put a text box over here, and then take and put another text box beneath it, and then put another text box beneath that, I can just do a calculation on those. So I just put a bunch of text boxes over there, and I can call them text first, text second, text third if I want to. Okay? So I'm going to name this one text first. And name this one text second. And name this one text third. Okay. So now I've got three text boxes there. Well, the third one could be the answer. I could have called that text answer. Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll call that text answer. So now let's say that my goal is to take what these are and do a calculation and get an answer. And what would be a good way of doing it is to put in four buttons. One to do an add, one to do a subtract, one to do a multiply, one to do a divide. Okay. So if you want to set this up, then we can go ahead and do that. And if you've got a form already there, just add it onto your form. These forms are not going to be marketable anymore. So, just add the buttons onto your form. So I've got three text buttons here. And again, if I want to put on labels, that's wonderful. But labels are, you know, what we need to have users work with this. But we don't really need to have it when we're just experimenting. Okay, because labels tell what goes into the boxes. And so if we're just playing around, we don't need that. But if we're preparing it for an end user, they definitely need it. Are you doing it, or where are you?
I'm caught up with where you are.
Okay. So now, let's say I take a button, and I bring over the button. So there's my button, and I'm going to call it button add. And then I want some words to appear on the button. So I scroll down to the text, and in the text I change the word to add, and now the button says add.
So now I know that if I click on that button, it will do an add. Okay. So throw in three more buttons that do a subtract, a multiply, and a divide.
And I'm going to call that one button SUBT. And I wrote the word subtract in as the text for that one. So it's BTN SUBT. And then down under the text, I put the word subtract. And then I can put in two more for multiply and divide. So I've got all four buttons on there now. Okay. So how do I get it to do something? How do I get it to do an add, subtract? How do I do that? You guys had a lousy teacher for CIS 120.
Yeah, we went, I mean, it was like a train speed, you know?
I think with 120, my big problem with remembering it is I was also trying to remember everything else that happened in that class.
Oh, yeah, and everything else that happened in every class. But as I said, you guys had a lousy instructor.
We go somewhere. We do something over here.
Yes, you click on the...
Yeah, double click on it. So if I take the add, and the important thing is to remember what you call these things. So I'm going to double click on the add. So there it comes up. And what it writes is that this is the button add click event. So click is the event that is happening, okay? And over here is the click event. And that would, if you click on the arrow beside it, there's a whole load of events that can happen there, okay? I am choosing the click event because the click event is the most frequently used. You click on something and actions happen. Okay, so now inside this, I need to write the code that will add the two together and give me the result. Okay? So jog your memory. You remember how to do an add?
With concatenate, right?
Yeah, the plus can be both a concatenate and an add, if that's what you meant, yeah. So I click on this, and where do I want to put the answer? Let's go back to the form. If I go back to the form, I've got three boxes. This one is called text first. The next one is called text second. And I don't know what you call them, but that's what I call them. And the next one is called text ANS for answer. At first I called it text third, and then I changed my mind. So those are what I call them, was text first, text second, and text answer. So now I'm going to double click on the add button again and go back to the code. And what do I want, where do I want the answer to go? Which box? Text answer. Okay? So I write text ANS. That's the name of the box. Now notice it has a red line underneath it. I'm not done with it yet, basically, that's telling me. But text answer is a box. Looking over at the properties when we created it, we can see that there are a gazillion properties associated with that box. So we have to tell it what property we want to change. And the property we want to change is the text property. So we write text answer dot text, because that's the name of the property. I want to change that property. So I'm writing text answer dot text equals and then what am I going to put there?
Yeah.
You put your first text box dot text.
So text first dot text.
And then you do plus the second text box dot text. And then whatever is used to concatenate them in this one.
Well, that's adding. And it can be, plus can also be a concatenate. So let's actually try this. Okay? So I've got text first dot text plus text second dot text and assign it to text answer dot text, right? So I'm saying take what is in text first dot text, add it to what's in text second dot text, and assign it to text answer dot text. Okay. Which, by the way, at some point going along here, I should do a file save all. Okay. My general rule is that anything that's going to take me more than 10 or 15 minutes to replace, I want to do a save. Okay, because I don't want to have a lot to have to replace. So, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes in, I just do a save all. So now if I try running this, how do I run this?
Hit the start.
I hit the start. Okay. So my ID is 123 for whatever. And then in text first, I'm going to put a 12. And in text second, I'm going to put a 7. And I'm going to hit the add. And what does it give me?
127.
So what did it do instead of add?
It concatenated.
So just like in JavaScript, I have to convince it that I'm dealing with numbers and it should do an add. So I need to do a convert. And that's only true in add. It's not true of subtract, multiply, or divide, because there's no conflict going on there. But the plus sign can mean add or concatenate, so it chooses concatenate by default. Okay? So I'm going to get out of here now, and I'm going to go back, and what I have to do is fix this. And see, DBL is one way of fixing it. That means convert it to an expression in the double date type, which is like a decimal. C-I-N-T is a way. And in fact, I would never probably
do that, but anyway. So, C, D, C. You can also put Val. So I put those, and I put the number inside the parenthesis. So I'm saying CDVL, and then the thing I want to convert is goes inside the parenthesis. And so it then converts it. Okay, so if I have now converted this, now I want to try it again. Okay. So I'm going to do a start. And I'm doing a 12 and a 7. And saying add, and this time it's coming up with 19. Now the C integer is interesting, and the C double. So if I did a 12.4, and down here I did a 7.6, and I say, add those, okay, what did it do?
Wait, what are you trying to do?
Not what I did. That's interesting. 12.4. And the second one I converted to a... I guess it rounded. That's what it is. Okay. It rounded. Sorry. I thought I couldn't add for a minute. So because I put 7.6... and it was saying, convert this to an integer. So 7.6 converted to an integer, wrapped up to 8. If I put 7, okay, so that converted it, it did a conversion. And this was 12.4 because double lets me keep decimals. And so this added up to 20.4.
Which one is the one that doesn't let you keep decimals?
C-I-N-T, because that's integer.
Gotcha.
So that's convert to an integer. And what I forgot that it did is when it converts to an integer, it rounds up.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I've converted to an integer, round up. So now if I go back and I change that, and I make this 7.3, and I say add, it's now 19.4, because 7.3 rounded down to a 7, 12.4, I've got now 19.4. They made this very small, didn't they? And my resetting does no good. I'll have to talk to them. Okay, 19.4. This conversion has to be done with an add. It's no problem if you convert everything in the subtract, multiply, and divide, but it doesn't have to be done in those. Okay, so go in now and put in the code for a subtract, a multiply, and a divide. Yeah.
For some reason, whenever I keep writing, the addition statement keeps throwing an error when I try to run it.
Okie dokie.
I have mine working right here like this. CBDL, then have this in parentheses, plus CBDL, and have it the other one in parentheses.
Where's the radio
button on that? Yeah, I did that on my phone.
Okay, alright. Okay. Just want to make sure you actually have
it. It doesn't give me any errors of
You called them text box 1 and text box 2?
Yes.
Okay, any answer text? CBL plus integer. And the multiply and divide work?
Yes.
I will
show you. Oh, it doesn't let me comment out here.
What is the comment out? The hottest thing for me to remember is language to language, what a comment out is. I think it's a single quote, try a single quote.
The only other ones work.
What does it give you with the plus now? Because
I just took it out so it doesn't do anything or change.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, so go back down in the privates on the radio button. One, check, change. That looks exactly the same as everything else. Oh, you didn't write a single quote? I think the single quote was it. Okay, so try putting it back in. Put the single quote in front of it, just because I want to see it above the comment. Single quote over here.
Oh, wait, actually, I think I know what the problem is.
What?
It's because it's an on-change event, and by default, the radio button starts with the top one.
Okay, yeah.
So I think...
you're doing the on-change.
Yeah, so it ends up trying to convert that blank down.
Yep.
So if I change it to just start at a random other thing instead, or just being unchecked, then it should work.
Interesting. Yeah, the changed... The whole idea of the change event can get really fussy.
Right.
I think that's like the same thing in every language. Every language is very picky in one certain aspect, and it will never accept anything else.
So now you're going to have three others here. So again, you go back to the form, you double-click on subtract, and it brings up the routine for subtract. And then you just say textAnswer.text equals CDEC. Oh, I don't have to do any of those. I was just going to try others, but I don't have to do that. TextFirst.text minus text. Second.text. Okay. And then I go back out to the form. And I click on multiply. And now I can put textAnswer.text equals textFirst.text. Times, which is an asterisk, text second dot text. And then I go back out to my form and I hit divide and I'm going to have text answer dot text equals text first dot text divided by text second.text. So I've got four click events going on.
And when I do the calculations, you should look.
So if I run these, okay, and I put in a 12 and a 2, and I tell it to subtract, it gives me 10. If I tell me to multiply, it gives me 24. And if I tell it to divide, it gives me 6. So those are all working. So do you have those on your thing? If not, put them on and get it so that it does those things.
Now experiment and go try putting some color, some size, and all that kind of thing on this. So basically you've got to look at the form and change some of the properties. And so go in and change some of the properties so that you're getting color, size, all that good stuff. Try making the background or something, the form. Try changing the fonts in some of these. And try making it more interesting.
So I'm going to take the form and go into the back color for the form itself. And I'm going to change the back color to a light gray. Okay? So I went to form, back color, and changed it to a light gray. Then I'm going to go to ID, and make it have a four color, so I click on custom, and I click on four color, and I can make it some shade of green. And I can make the font, if I click on font, I can make the font bold and up to 14. So now that if I run it, I get the gray, and when I put the number in, it's green. Didn't I change the... I may not have changed the font because I don't see it doing that. I don't think I told it to save. So I want it to be bold and I want it to be 14 and I'm saying okay, which I didn't say before. So now when I run it, 1, 2, 3 is now in bold green. And if I go back to the form and look at it, there is the changes that I made. So maybe answer, I want to be a foreground color of red. So I click custom and I pick red. And then I'm going to make it also bold. And I'll make it 16 and say okay. And I'm going to give it a background color of, let's go with a kind of a beige. So now when I run it, it becomes big and red and matches the properties that I changed. Okay, so I get to change the background color, I get to change the foreground color, I get to change the font, the size, bold, and all that good stuff. So I can make the form look very different from where it started out. How you doing? Everybody with me? So now I'm done with this. So I'm going to do a file, save all. And again, it makes sense to me to bring a flash drive, although you can save everything on your end drive. So if you go out now to my site, and base payroll calculation was an intro thing. Okay, so I've got examples. So if I click on Pay Calc Zip, and I want to save it, and I'm going to save it on my F drive. Okay, where did I save it? Save link as, and I want to save it on my F drive. So save link as, and I think I clicked the wrong thing while I was talking. I click on save link as, and I save it on my F drive. Then I go in through File Explorer, and I go to my F drive, and I right-click on that and then click on Extract All. So I extract everything. So I now have it on my F drive. Okay. And so now I've got something that I can use here. Okay. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio, and I'm going to close this. So I'm going to say File, Close Solution. And now what I want to do is open a project or solution. So this is, again, different from previous versions. So I'm clicking Open a Project or Solution, and I'm going to go to my F drive, and I'm going to find PayCalc, and I'm going to click on it, and it has just opened. Okay. So that example has just opened. And on this one, I had four boxes. I'm calculating the pay. Hours worked times pay per hour gives me gross pay. And I've got a clear and I've got a close. Has everybody downloaded this one okay? You want to download and then unzip.
Was it under PB 2019? Which one was it under? The top of examples. And
it's
that one right there.
Okay, so click on it, and then do a save link as. No, I'm sorry, right click on it, I should have said. And save link as. And so you can now save it on your F drive. So just click save. Okay, and then go into File Explorer.
Okay, so this one has just a few little things that we didn't have in the other one. One of them is I dimmed, the first one I just said, multiply pay per hour by hours worked and store it in gross pay. Okay. When I want to do the close, I have me.close, and that's one of many ways that close things, the me.close. When I wanted to clear, I listed each field and said, do the dot clear. Okay, do the module, do the function, it's dot clear. So do the dot clear. Then down here, I just wanted to play around with work areas. So I did a definition of a work area. So I did, said dim, work paper hour is W. Work hours worked is double. Dim work gross pay is double. Now notice that on this one I chose to do two. I could have done the third one, put a comma and done the third one. It doesn't matter. And then I said, okay, take the text that's coming in. And stuff that comes in off the form is always string. So I'm saying take what comes in off the form, convert it to double, store it in that work area. Take what comes in off the form, convert it to double, and store it in that work area. Now do the multiply and store it in work gross pay. Okay? And then work gross pay, I am converting to a string, and the C will be a currency string. So if I run this, I've got name, John, hours worked, 40, pay per hour, 50, and I say, notice I've got two ways to calculate. So if I click this button, it does the quick and easy calculation. I can then clear it and put in Susan, hours worked 40, paper hour 50, and do this calculate, and that calculate is the bottom one, and it gives me currency, because I took the result, converted it to currency. So I'm seeing currency there. The string, and the type of string I want to be C, which is currency. Okay, so I've got two things here. What I had to know was which button I call things. This one was button calculate, and button calculate was this one. And then the other one was calculate, or calculate gross pay. This one is this one. Okay, I'm doing real well here. That was that one. Okay. Now notice I put on this one CMD, which you will sometimes see instead of button. Okay, you'll sometimes see that it's called a command. So they'll put a CMD there instead of a BTN. Okay, so I did that on this one. I made it a CMD. So when I named this one, I called it CMD Calculate More. When I named this one, I called it BTN Calc. And this one I called CMD Calc More. Okay. So I gave them two different names. DIM defines a work area. So I defined a work area as double, which means it's a decimal number. So I set up three work areas defined as decimal. Took in the data that the user typed in and assigned it to a work area. Did the calculation and then converted it to currency string when I put it out. Okay. So that's just a few other basics that came out of that first example. Okay. Questions? Okay, I am done. Yeah.
I open this. It comes to a blank screen.
Because of not enough people, and they're late.